This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
3 minutes after 12, before we get stuck into Mystery Hour, I'm just joining some dots here. Boris Johnson was in the United Arab Emirates yesterday, wasn't he? And met with the Crown Prince Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, and DP World, which is majority owned by the Dubai Sovereign Wealth Fund, owned P&O. And it is now been reported by ITV that the company P&O is making all sailing staff redundant with immediate effect before replacing them, the RMT union has warned, with foreign workers. So that trip of Boris Johnson's to Saudi Arabia and the UAE, I know it doesn't matter because it's Boris Johnson that we're talking about, but for any other politician at any other point in British history, that would be filed under enormous disaster, I think, as things stand, unless, of course, there is some movement on the oil price question. But flying back to Britain to discover that Dubai has essentially pulled the rug from under a massive employer, probably not what he had in mind when he flew out there. Should we just start with Mystery Hour and not do any introductions or descriptions? And you don't know how it works, you can work it out yourself. I'll just check with Keith. Have you got the sound effects ready? Yeah, you sure? There were some complaints last week. I know you were on your holidays, but there were some complaints last week. Thank you. Joyce is in Aberdeen. Joyce, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
When I put my bin out, do the contents still belong to me until it's taken away? And I'm thinking of, if I saw my neighbour putting their bin out and they've got a picture in it that they got from a charity shop, they think it's a fake, but I think it's a Rembrandt. Can I go and take it out their bin?
That's a brilliant question. Isn't it?
Thank you.
I don't think you're allowed to take stuff out of skips.
Yeah, I know. The reason I'm asking is I used to work with somebody and they saw their neighbour putting a whole load of bin bags out one night, and they went and brought them into their living room, went through the contents to see if there's anything they wanted, which I thought was pretty shocking, but it just kind of made me think...
Why? Oh. Why?
It was quite a wealthy, quite a big fancy house, and they just thought there'd be stuff in it that they...
They were having a big clear out. They were having a big clear out. It wasn't like potato peelings and stuff like that.
No.
Do they still wear it?
I don't know. I haven't seen them for a while.
You'd give it a wash, wouldn't you, Joyce?
I think you would, yeah.
It's a lovely question. It was bins yesterday for me. I put out so much cardboard. I thought there's no way they're going to take this on the recycling lorry. But they did.
Good.
Thank you, Joyce. Thank you for pretending to be interested. Have a great day. In fact, it's like that old question about the peacocks. If my peacock lays an egg in your garden, who does it belong to? Except it's not. If I put my bin out, who does that now belong to? Who do the contents of that bin belong to? And does the question of whether it's on the pavement or in your front garden play a part in the process? I do not know. I wonder if anybody does. Andy's in Birmingham. Andy, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, Andy.
How are you?
That's it. That's easy. I'm very well, mate. Thank you. Do I get a round of applause? Carry on.
Yeah. One of these, James. I do the National Lottery online two or three times a week.
Yeah.
And when I actually win a prize, I get an email saying that you've won a prize.
Oh, I know.
And yeah, and I don't like to open that email just in case it's the big jackpot.
Same. I lie in bed sometimes on a Sunday morning and just give myself 10 minutes of fantasizing.
Exactly the same. Is it the same email, James, that you get if you actually won the jackpot, or would you get a telephone call, or am I wasting my time just...
Do you want to know? I don't want to know. I don't know if I'm going to allow this question. I don't want to know. I don't think I want to know, because that means every time I get the email, I lose that little frisson of excitement that I've...
Well, could
that
you
I've...
find out and just get someone to text me the answer without anyone else knowing?
Do a bespoke Mystery Hour for you, yes, Andy's own little sort of VIP lane on Mystery Hour.
Yes. Exactly.
No, I can't now. You're on, so I've got to do it. If you've won a really big prize and you're doing it online, you have to be doing it online, so they tell you you've won, which is one of the major advantages of doing it online, isn't it? Is it?
You're absolutely... Never gonna... you get that email saying you've won a prize, and it's just that 10 minutes of joy. Am I a multimillionaire?
And then you open it and you've won a free go. That was what you... You've won a lucky dip. So you lay in bed thinking, well, how much will I give my sister? How much will I... Well, I see that. Okay, and we'll sort out that, and we'll buy that for mum and get my mother-in-law. That's nice. And then you open it, it goes, congratulations, you've been entered into Wednesday's lucky dip.
You've won a lucky dip.
Let's find out then. Thank you, Andy. Do you get a call? That's a great... Two really good questions there, actually. So there are times, you know, Obviously, with the board game coming along, I look back over Mystery Hour. And there are times where I wonder if we're going to run out of road. Are we going to run out of road on Mystery Hour? Are we going to start? I know a lot of questions come back round again these days because my memory is falling to pieces as I get older. I can't remember. And we've been doing it for more than 10 years. But no, there's two questions there that we've never had before. Now I get 100 texts saying, I think you'll find you have. But I don't remember ever having had these questions before. And they're both absolute bangers, aren't they? When you put your bin out, who do the contents belong to? And if you win a massive prize on the lottery, you're playing online, do you still just get that little email on Sunday morning or in the small hours of Sunday morning? Or do they contact you in a different way? 8 minutes after 12 is the time. Phil is in Surbiton. Phil, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
Softshell crab.
Yeah.
How you can safely eat the whole thing, yet with other things such as fish, you would have to gut, a prawn, you'd devein... animals we gut. So how come it
doesn't really have to devein a prawn? It's encouraged, isn't it? But it's not.
True. But with the soft shell crab, how can it be safe to eat the whole thing? Guts and everything else inside.
It's not just soft shell crabs. I mean, there used to be a habit in France where I think they were called otolands, and they were small songbirds. They'd catch small songbirds in nets. Okay. And cook them whole, and then you'd put it... Have you ever seen those pictures where people have got their napkins over their heads? And they put the bird, because it explodes in your mouth, so sort of all the juices and so you put a napkin over your head and put your little bird in your mouth and crunch down on it. It's not unique to soft shell crabs, and we'll be able to think of other things as well that you eat whole, won't we? I'm sure we will. What sort of answer are you looking for? Because it's going to be, the answer is in the name. It's a soft shell, therefore you can eat it. That's why it's called a soft shell crab.
I'm thinking more of the innards. Yes, definitely put the intestines.
Yeah, okay. So there'll be something to do with the kind of intestinal processes, won't it? And the fact that but maybe they emit constantly rather than storing it up like mammals do. I like that question. I also really, really like soft shell crab, as I presume you do as well, Phil.
Say again.
Do you like soft shell crab a lot?
I do. I love it.
It's hit and miss, though.
My partner's from Malaysia.
Oh, really?
And so over there, you know, so many restaurants have it there, and you see the shells.
Yeah.
So see the crabs in these tanks, and it's you can't get fresher than that.
I love it. Amazingly, I've got an anecdote here that I can tie in with P&O. Does anyone want to hear it, Keith? Do you want to hear it? No? Oh, well, maybe later. Mark's in Forest Hill. Mark, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
Whilst it's a beautiful day today, it was a bit chilly this morning.
It was crisp.
It was crisp. It was very crisp. I had to scrape the ice off the windscreen. However, I only had to scrape it off the front windscreen, which is often the case, not always on the sides, the wing mirrors, or the back. So why does more often than not, it's only the front that has the frost that needs scraping off it?
I'm just going to have a quick consultation with my colleagues, okay? Would you mind if I do that, Mark?
Go for it.
All right. Is this not a motoring question?
Ooh.
Mark, if you don't mind, mate, it's just it's a private conversation. Is this a motoring question, isn't it? I don't care what the answer is. The question is about a motor car. It's literally a motoring question. Who put this through? Who put this through, this motoring question? Okay. We'll talk after the show. What sort of car have you got, Mark?
It's a Vauxhall Insignia.
I don't know why I asked that. What shape is it? Is the back window flat?
More of an angle.
But not as big an angle as the front window?
Not too dissimilar.
Oh, really? So it's a saloon car, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got
demister.
I'm afraid that is that's a discussion between me and my soon-to-be former colleagues. It's got a demister on the back window, but it's not on overnight.
Correct.
Do you park in the same place every night?
Not necessarily. No.
You park on the street.
I was staying at a friend's house last night, so a completely different place.
Okay. Aye. Anything we need to know about?
No, nothing at all.
I'll try and find out. So the front window freezes up and the back window doesn't on a saloon car.
And the wing mirrors never need scraping. The side mirrors very rarely do.
Yeah. So it's probably just the size.
Who knows?
It's because it's bigger. All right, you're on. Yeah, someone's just texted saying we've had it before, and that's why I'm keeping. That's why I'm doing the talk, because I keep thinking we have had it before, and the answer. But I think the answer last time was to do with being nearer to the house or something like that, or something. Anyway, we'll find out. I like it, Mark. I like it a lot, and I'm deciding now it's not a motoring question. It's a meteorology question, unless the answer has something to do with the motor, in which case heads are going to roll. 13 minutes after 12 is the time. Tony is in Coventry. Tony, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry
please.
On. Carry on.
How do painkillers know where to go?
Ah, I think I can answer this. No, I like it. I like it.
Put your MD head on.
I will. I think that the key that we have to use here is anti-inflammatory.
Right.
So certainly ibuprofen is an anti-inflammatory drug, and and therefore it knows, for want of a better word, to go to wherever there is an inflammation. It will address the inflammation. It won't affect anything else.
But does it just swim around?
No. Don't do that. And you know, it goes everywhere, but it only affects inflammation because it's an anti-inflammatory. So, I mean, it does affect other areas. I don't know whether you've ever taken painkillers before going for a long run or something like that, because I think marathon runners sometimes take painkillers before they run a marathon, because it will almost, like, prevention is better than cure. As things get inflamed, the painkillers will kick in, but it only acts upon inflamed areas.
But that's with inflammation.
Yeah.
So if you have a...
headache.
If you, I don't know, yeah... Is that the same? Is that inflammation?
I think so, yeah. I think something's swelling or something's a bit... I'll put it on the board. But I'm not putting how the painkillers know where to go, because we're both too old to be faffing about like that. It's how do they work is what we want to know. How do painkillers work? How do they target pain fast, as the adverts, I think, used to say. 12:15 is the time.
Whether you're searching for record players... or pianos, how you pay matters. Visa helps protect you from payment fraud online. Visa, a network working for everyone.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
18 minutes after 12 is the time. Questions in need of answers. If I put my bin out, who does the rubbish belong to? If you win big on the lottery and you're playing online, do you still just get the email, or do you get contacted in a different way? How come you're a white bait? A lot of people are sending me the word white bait. Sometimes on the programme, I see something on my inbox. Sometimes people make mistakes, like other radio stations have text numbers and they might be similar to ours. And so you'll get a text, you'll get four or five texts saying something like Tears for Fears. And I sit there looking at them thinking, what have I possibly said to which the response is Tears for Fears? And the answer is sometimes nothing. They've been sent by some weird glitch in the system or by accident at the same time to me. And then I get like lots of people sending the word white bait. And I'm looking at the screen, why are people sending me the word white bait? And then I remember that we're talking about soft shell crabs. And the question is, how come you can eat them in their entirety while you can't eat other things in their entirety? And of course, you also eat white bait. Anything that you sort of lightly batter and eat whole. So squid. No, you gut a squid, don't you? You take out the innards of the squid. But anyway, white bait and soft shell crabs, how come you can eat them whole? And why does Mark's windscreen freeze up when the back windscreen doesn't? And they're quite similar. Jar is in Colchester. Jar, question or answer?
I've got an answer for you for the motorist question.
Oh, come on, mate. Your name is Jar. It has to be Car.
Well, no, it's Jarless, but it's easier to say just Jar.
So the Irish, then?
Yes. Old Irish name.
I know it is. It's a lovely Irish name. Jarlath Regan does a brilliant podcast. I don't know if you're familiar with it. An Irishman
no,
abroad.
I'm not.
It's very, very good. Jarlath's a top lad. Anyway, Jar with the car. Carry on.
So the windshield is actually a different type of glass to the rest of the car. So I'm not sure if you'd be aware, but...
almost certainly not.
You can smash your side, like your passenger windows and the rear window, even with just your seat belt. But when you're in a car crash... the windscreen will not shatter. It will stay intact.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yes, I get that.
There's multiple layers to it. There's layers of plastic, there's layers of glass, but there's also, like, sprayed metal, which will conduct heat and the cold much better than the rest of the car.
So, that's it, then? The reason it freezes
the
over
is the glass.
Yeah, it's because it is less conductive.
Yeah.
Qualifications?
Well, I study architecture, and at the moment we're going through lots of different types of glass and windows. But it's not a mechanical or a mechanics kind of.
No, it's a windows question. Guess. It's a glass-based question, not a motoring-based question. It's a lovely answer. It makes sense when you point it out, but we need to have it pointed out. Round of applause for Jar, please.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 21 minutes after 12 is the time. Chris is in Cowbridge. Chris, question or answer?
It is a question, please, James.
Carry
Good
on,
to talk
Chris.
To you.
Yeah, likewise.
Love your books.
Oh, you're very
just
kind.
Just finished your second one.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank
Absolutely
you,
awesome.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, really? I've done a lot of self-help stuff, but your stuff is good. But anyway, my question is this.
Nice, man.
It's a simple question.
Yes.
How does a whip break the sound barrier? And what I'm interested in is, what is the mechanism of action that's going on at the end that causes the crack?
Is that breaking the sound barrier, the crack of the whip?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It's a miniature sonic boom.
Well, I never. You live and learn. It's a vintage mystery out of this, isn't it? With brilliant questions that have never been had before, and there's a lesson around every corner, and yours fits the bill perfectly. So how does that work? How does a whip break the sound barrier? I can tell you now, Chris, I don't know whether you're going to be excited by this information, and please, people, stop texting me random words. Everyone's teasing me today. So I've now got in my inbox, after saying that thing that sometimes people text me things I don't understand, I've got Mars Bar, Chris Moyles and Fleetwood Mac being texted to me at the moment, as if they're relevant to any of the conversations we've been having. But when you asked that question, Keith started jumping up and down like a small child. So he obviously knows the answer, which means you'll definitely get an answer, because if we haven't got one over the phones by the close of play, I'll allow Keith the opportunity to speak to the audience through me. Don't worry, I won't make you come on the radio. Thank you, Chris. 22 after 12 is the time. Liam is in Sheffield. Liam, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's an answer.
Carry on, Liam.
It's regarding the wheelie bin, if you put it out.
Yeah.
Basically, the answer is, if you put your wheelie bin out, you've already discarded the item, so therefore it becomes waste.
What if it's still in your garden? What if you haven't put it out, it's in your garden?
Then you've still discarded it. The definition,
but it's in my garden. You can't come and nick my garden furniture. But the bin is a different kingdom, is it? It's a sovereign bin.
Well, potentially that's trespass. But basically, the definition of waste is if you discard or require to discard, or if you intend to discard, then something becomes waste. So therefore, if you put your wheelie bin out and you have a Picasso in there, you've discarded it. Uh-huh. So therefore, it becomes fair game.
Just to clarify on the vocabulary, this is my fault, not yours. When we're saying put the wheelie bin out, the wheelie bin's already out. You're just talking about putting stuff in it. When you put something in it, it's discarded.
It's discarded, therefore it becomes waste. Therefore, you've basically given it up.
So I could go up and down my street rifling through everybody else's bins, or does it now belong to somebody else?
It becomes waste, so therefore you've given it up.
Yeah, but can I go and go through all my neighbour's bins whenever I want?
If you wanted to, James.
Yeah, all right. Don't put it like that. Times are hard. My kids need shoes. Okay. Qualifications?
I work for the Environment Agency in Waste Regulation.
Wow. That'll do nicely. Round of applause. Oh, yeah, there you go. So the original, it was Joyce, wasn't it, who asked the question. Her weird mates who got all their neighbours' rubbish into their house to go through it because they were quite wealthy and they thought there might be some nice gear there. Random texts continue. A week next Thursday. Spatchcock chicken. Now, maybe that's a reference to something we all eat. Some genius has written Tears for Fears. And the current winner is either Burton Lazar's mate or Belly Button Hamburger. And I'm going to stop reading them out now because you're going to start sending rude ones, aren't you, that I will then read out by accident and embarrass myself in a humiliating fashion. Ha-ha. Jeremy's in Cobham. Jeremy, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
To the lottery question.
Oh, yes.
So what I phoned them up once, because I play online.
Yeah.
And I'd never won anything big, a few hundred quid once.
Yeah.
And said, had anyone ever won big online? They said, yes, they definitely had. And they told me several people. But then a work colleague of mine, I was sitting next to him at his desk.
Yeah.
On Monday morning, he logged on to his account. And there was a message there saying he'd won £500,000. And he hadn't received an email from them, and he then had to phone them up to confirm it, but it was just on his online account. So I don't know whether £500,000 counts as winning big or not.
What did he do? That is insane! How did that line go down at that point? I told you today something. You're back, Jeremy. Are you back? That is just not normal. There's no way I'm the victim of some sort of conspiracy. I need to speak to Jeremy. I want to know what happened next because I'm still not entirely clear on whether or not he answered the question. Ian's in Bristol. Ian, question or answer?
Question, James. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm grand. Well, I'm a little bit suspicious that someone is playing games with me, Ian, but that's not your concern at this juncture. Question or answer? What have you got? Question.
It's a question. Is it? And if it's with my question, it's... I'm not too sure now as well, but I'm going to go with it anyway.
Yeah, go on.
So my son's two, teaching him the alphabet.
Yeah.
And I've got his book, and his alphabet book is at is for aeroplane,
Apple.
But is for butterfly.
Yeah.
Cat is for cow. Right. When you get to X.
Oh, great question.
X is for X-ray, is it?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Right. What's
X
the chart?
Is there X-ray?
Yeah.
And it's the same in that alphabet or the standard Latin alphabet, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. So Z, Z, Y.
Yeah.
Abracadabra. And then they get to X, and it's X-ray in the book, is it?
It is X-ray in the book.
It's not X.
And
Z.
Yeah.
Like xylophone. That's a Z, isn't it? That's a Z.
Always. I mean, in one book it's X-ray. In another book it's X-ray fish. So it's always X-ray.
What's the question then?
Well, I suppose why?
Because it's
how come?
Because it's the only way you can pronounce X. If you pronounce it as in xylophone, it's a Z. Sex. Sorry, so, I just said sex.
It's all right. But it was only mine. It's
it's a Z. Xenon is a Z. So you couldn't is so Z or Z. That would be X. So it's literally the only way you can say X.
Yeah.
Stop sending me rude words, you weird people. I can't read any of these out now. I've ruined my inbox. Some of them I hadn't even seen before. So that's the answer. It's the only way you can say X. I mean, you say it the same, big case or lowercase, or however you want to describe it, I think.
So if that is the case, I know you're not allowed to double question, but,
here
how
you
did
are.
That come about then? Do you know what
I'll
I mean?
Get knotted. I'm not having that. It just did. There's not going to. I mean, maybe it was introduced late into our language. I don't. Eggs would
don't
have
know.
Come from Greece or something like that. I'm taking a round of applause. I'll leave it on the board. Now, go on. What do you want to say?
I was just going to say, is just because it is that's not a great answer, is it? Because it is.
No, but it is. I mean, you're a father of a two-year-old, mate. You're about to start using this answer on a daily basis. Why, Dad?
Well,
why? Because I say so. Because it is. I'm taking the applause. I mean, if you think that there's more to add to that question, stick around and we'll see. But I'm taking the applause and I'm taking it now. 28 minutes after 12. It may be something to do with Greek in full. I don't know. Jeremy's about. Back to Jeremy. Sorry. So did he... I mean, first of all, I asked you, what did he do when he realised he'd won £500,000 sitting next to you in the office and you got cut off mysteriously? So what did he do?
Well, he jumped up. He didn't quite believe it. He asked a colleague to check because he didn't... He said, I can't work out whether it's 50,000 or £500,000 or whatever it was.
They
said, no, it's definitely £500,000.
Wow.
And then he called them up. This is some time ago. He called up, I think it was Camelot in those days. And they said, well, you've got to come tomorrow and prove...
Yeah.
So obviously he didn't have to take a ticket, but just had to take some ID the next day. And
Before they put they it in his account. So, and he didn't get a phone call. He should have got an email.
No.
It just hadn't arrived.
Don't think he checked it. He hadn't checked that, but he just went onto his account for some reason.
This counts as definitive then. So you would only get the online notifications. Yeah. He didn't get contacted by them in any other way.
No, he didn't. I had another friend who won 110,000.
Really?
He won the lottery the week that about 10,000 people got all the numbers.
Oh, how unlucky.
So you got about
110,000. It's not unlucky, is it? It's a weird one, that. What word would you use to describe it? I suppose he spent an hour thinking he'd made millions.
Yes.
And then it dawned. Did he stay at work? You're £500,000, mate.
He stayed at work that day, but he didn't come in the next day. But then he came back after that.
Oh, he did. He carried on working. Yeah. Didn't knock it on the head.
Oh, yeah. He paid off his... He used all the money. He paid off a mortgage on his house. They wanted him to invest in various things and all stuff. And he said, no, I'm just going to pay off my house. So
yes,
it all pretty much went.
Yeah, nice one. Round of applause for Jeremy. Beautifully done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And it's good news, that, because it means I still get my little Sunday morning thrills. And if you don't know what that means, you better listen to the podcast. Amelia Cox is here now with your headlines.
Whether you're searching for record players or pianos, how you pay matters. Visa helps protect you from payment fraud online. Visa, a network working for everyone.
It's 12:34. Questions that still need answers. How does a whip crack break the sound barrier? How come you can eat soft-shell crab? There's not much you can eat. Might be a steward's inquiry on the way on the bins question, but we'll have to wait and see. That's all I've got left. You can add to the... Oh, yeah, how do painkillers work? I think I've answered that. And you may have something to add to the question about why does the letter X not have a grown-up version and a child version like every other letter in the alphabet does? Abacada, efaga, ha, ejakala. What's K if C is K? Is it just K, K? Is it two K's? Two K's. Two K's. Double K. Jack's in Woking. Jack, question or answer?
Hello, James. A question, please.
Carry on.
I would like to know, why do people naturally gravitate to have some sort of cover on them when you go to sleep?
To stay warm.
I know, that's what I would have thought, but then
why
do you do it when I'm in a hostel in Morocco in 35 degrees heat with no air conditioning?
Habit.
They supply me a sheet on the bed and I still use it
Habit.
When I'm roasting.
Decency, in case the chambermaid comes in while you're in the altogether.
What?
In case the chambermaid comes in while you're in your birthday suit. Modesty.
What, in a hostel in Morocco somewhere?
Yeah.
I didn't have a chambermaid.
Well, they didn't know that, did they, when they put the sheet out there? Who put the sheet there then? All right. Who put
the
sheet there?
Hang on.
Who put the sheet there?
Well, I don't know. But why did they put me a
chambermaid?
Sheet? I'm just thinking, I don't think it's for warmth and things like that. Or
what's your theory then, Jack?
I don't know, because it moves, because I think, well, if it's warm, that's why you have a duvet and stuff when you go camping and you're cold.
Yeah.
But when I go to Spain and it's 150 degrees, everyone still use a cover and a sheet.
But it gets cold in the night,
country.
Mate. It gets cold in the night, even if it's 150 degrees,
I've been to a lot of places where it's really hot at night.
You haven't?
But why do you put a little cotton sheet on?
You haven't been to a lot of places where it's freezing in the desert at night. You can die of heat stroke in the day and die of hypothermia at night. Where
have you
been?
Have you been to Thailand?
What?
Thailand,
yeah,
like
many times. Many times. Many, many times.
And it's not cold at night.
That's more humidity than heat, that. But you have the sheet.
Well, there you go, but it's not comfortable, is it?
I don't understand the question. You have a cover because you're not wearing anything.
Why do we naturally all do it? Why don't we just go to bed and lay there and go... Oh,
all right, I'll start again. I'll try again, all right? I'll come from another angle. You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because we haven't got any fur.
Yeah, well, that's what someone else said to me. But is that why? So at one point, this is what someone said to me, but I said, there was a long time before we had fur and invented putting a sheet over us. There's a big time gap there before we
were that's known as the Ice Age, because we were all so cold.
Yeah. So is that when they invented sheets to go over the top of you? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. But animals nestle down into leaves and things like that. It's just to keep warm. And then if you're in a place that's already warm, it's just sort of nice, isn't it? It makes you feel secure.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Sort of nice. But is it a comfort thing? Because when you're a baby, you wear a onesie and you don't have a duvet. But then everywhere
I don't think
you go
there's a
the
definitive
world,
answer. There's not a definitive answer, is there? There is a degree of psychological comfort involved because it reminds you of being in the womb.
I thought maybe it was like your brain process and it's the final piece of the puzzle before you want to go to sleep.
I think there is something, because it reminds you of being in the womb. So if you suffer from insomnia, some people recommend using weighted blankets, which make you feel even more secure. They've got little ball bearings sewn into them and they're really heavy.
I think my missus used a couple of them on me once.
Yeah, well, did it work? Not like that, Jack. Okay, okay.
It's just a double-edged sword. Comfort,
it's not a double-edged
maybe,
sword,
then,
it's a sheet.
Well, is it a comfort thing? But then if it is a comfort thing...
All right, let's rephrase the question.
Why do we just wear pyjamas and still have a sheet? Because they're comfortable.
Why do we have bed clothes? Why do they have bed clothes in hot countries? That's the question.
Why do they have covers in hot countries?
Yeah, that's what I mean by bed clothes.
Yeah, why do they wear both then?
No, I don't mean bed clothes, Matt. I don't mean clothes that you wear in bed. Bed clothes.
I thought we meant pyjamas.
No, bed clothes. Sheets.
So that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
But why do we have bed clothes and why
in
do we naturally gravitate?
No, stop talking about naturally gravitating. Why do we have bed clothes in hot countries?
Okay.
That's the question you
and
want.
And cold and universally.
No, but I know why we have them in cold countries. That's to keep warm.
But I think it's just a thing, though, because otherwise you'd wear two jumpers and go to bed and just lay there.
Some people do that as well. The covers. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah. No, I'm getting it now.
I mean, you just lay there like you're a baby. In
yeah.
Your onesie,
why don't you just put loads of clothes on? Why the covers?
Yeah, that's it. Why? And you feel at home.
Well, why didn't
when
you ask that in the first place?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why do we do that? Why do we reach down at night and grab them?
I shall try and find out for you, Jack.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks, James.
Thank you,
bye.
Mate. No mind how you go. Dave's in Horsham. Dave, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
It's painkillers, how
yes.
they work.
Yes.
So you were partially right. Mm-hmm. Things like ibuprofen, paracetamol, they're anti-inflammatory, and they don't go to the source of pain. What they do is they prevent the release of chemicals called prostaglandins that cause inflammation.
Ah, okay.
So you'll feel it in the place where you have pain, but it will
feel
it does
in
it
your
in the
fingers.
Entire body. Then there's other types of painkillers called opiates, which are things like codeine and morphine and pethidine, that sort of thing.
The good stuff.
And they block the nerve transmitters that
yep.
tell the brain you're in pain. And
wow.
they're also euphoric, so they give you a little bit of a buzz, so you forget that you're in pain.
Yeah, I like it. Qualifications?
I'm a GP.
That'll do nicely. Dave, Dr. Dave, we shall call you henceforth. Have a round of applause.
Thanks, James.
No, thank you, Dr. Dave. 12:40 is the time. Liz is in Billingham. Liz, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
Okay, so it's about the letter X.
Oh, yes.
So we actually, when we go through the phonetic alphabet, so we say at, but, cuts, etc. Oh, sorry, by the way, I just had dental work done, so I'm not sounding...
That's all right. No, I thought, yes, no, I did actually pick up something went a bit wrong on the cuh, did it?
Yeah.
No, don't worry. What's K? What's K?
K is K as well.
So there's two K's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
On with the X. Don't worry about the dental work. Has it worked? Is it successful?
The letter X is K.
Pardon?
K.
What?
K.
K. Badum. K. Okay. When did that happen?
Always. So think of the word.
But you can't put that in a book.
Which you said earlier.
How do you write that in a book? Shush. Well, how do you write that in a book?
So we actually now don't teach X-ray and xylophone as the examples.
What
we
do you teach?
Fox.
Fox?
Fox.
Holy moly. Why couldn't it have been something like socks? Oh, that's not an X, is it?
Well, because it's not an X.
No, I just thought you'd off-commed me then for a minute. I thought you'd said something completely unallowed on the radio. It's
no,
just partly because
of
your dental work, I think. Fox. So, oh, okay. And when do you know when it changed from X-ray to Fox?
It's been a gradual thing. I mean, some places might still do X-ray, but the pedagogy at the moment is moving towards
great word,
Fox or Ox or Box or whatever.
Ox would have been all right. You wouldn't have given me a heart attack if you said Ox. Honestly,
sorry.
It's the things I have to put up with. For Fox's sake. Question or qualifications, Liz?
Phonics teacher.
That'll do nicely. Round of applause for Liz.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Grant's in Bermondsey. Grant, question or answer?
It's a question, but firstly, how's your rice cooker?
Did you buy one?
I've already got one.
Oh, you had one already. We're loving it. We're loving it. Yes, absolutely. And one of my daughter's friends bought us some special rice from the sort of supermarket their family go to. And I think it's like sushi rice. And it's,
anyway. That's what I use.
We've sold loads. Did I tell you what happened on Amazon when we talked about rice cookers?
Yes, I did. I've still got the episode on my podcast player.
Went off like a rocket.
Right, anyway, let me
yes.
cut to the chase.
Question or answer.
So, I was reading an article this morning about home invasions and all of that.
Oh, yes.
And someone put up the question, why can't I, this might get a little bit naughty,
okay.
why can't I booby trap my house?
Right.
And I thought, perfect question for Mystery Hour.
Yes.
Why is it called a booby trap?
A booby trap. I like
yes.
that. Yeah. But, I mean, is it because you're a booby if you fall into it?
I don't know, but I just thought it was a fairly sort of naughty-ish question. And it's just an interesting thing. I don't know. Maybe you are a booby if you fall into it.
I mean, a booby is a bird, a very stupid bird.
don't know.
No, I know you don't, nor do I, actually. So I should just put it on the board and see if we can find out. Why is a booby trap called a booby trap? What's the booby in the context of the booby trap? Great question, Grant. Thank you very much indeed. 12:44 is the time. Squeeze in one more. Graham's in Southgate. Graham, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
It's a cure. It's,
you're right there, mate.
I won 2050 on the lottery.
Right.
And they didn't email me. They called me.
You played online, did you?
Yes.
How did they have your phone number? How did they have your... You won £2,000 and they phoned you?
Yeah.
What year was this?
5 years ago.
Okay.
And so they didn't email me. They just called me.
Okay.
So there's a limit. And I asked them, could I have... I was one number away.
Right. No, that's got to hurt, hasn't it? That really has. And, you know, you were 1 second away from the break as well this afternoon. Take care, mate.
UK Export Finance can help your business realise its export potential. In 2020 through 21, we provided £12.3 billion of support for UK exports by providing government-backed finance and insurance. We can help you win contracts with attractive finance terms. Got orders overseas? Fulfil them with a working capital loan. Entering a challenging market? Get paid with the right insurance.
To get the exporter's edge, search UK Export Finance or call us on 0800 538 5111.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It is 12:49. Still need some answers. The soft shell... I put my teeth in and try again, shall I? The soft shell crab one should have been answered. But I guess it's kind of obvious. It's just that you can eat a soft shell crab because you can eat a soft shell crab. At some point in human history, we've eaten almost everything. And then if you see your mate drop dead, you think, well, I'm not having any of those mushrooms. Or if you get really, really sick, you think, I'm not having that again. So you give it a wash next time. I don't know. We shall find out. Let's continue. Roshni's in Shooter's Hill. Roshni, question or answer?
It's answer, James.
Carry on.
So it was, it's the answer for the question about taking a cover at night.
Yeah. Why do we do it in, very, very hot countries? Why do we still have bedclothes?
We don't, like, take, you know, sheets over us, actually.
Right.
And when it's hot, we don't. I think it's the habit. It's what you're used to doing.
So Westerners in Thailand will have a sheet, but Thai people in Thailand won't?
Yes.
I hadn't thought
of
that.
I lived in Nepal. Well, I'm Nepalese, and I lived in Nepal until I was 23.
Yeah.
And I never used to take cover at night, nor did my family in summer, at least. In winter, we would take cover. But since I came here in 2011, and now when I go back home,
yes,
I do take cover even in summer.
That's a brilliant. That's the perfect answer. I can't believe me and Jack didn't think of it. No, lovely stuff. And qualifications is that you grew up in a very hot country.
Yes.
Round of applause for Roshni. Thank you. That's perfect. Well played.
Thank you,
James. I kind of should have thought of that. Flipping Jack, leading me astray there with all his nonsense. Tom's in Inverness. Tom, question or answer?
Shoot inquiry, James.
Oh, lordy. No, go on then.
The guy for the waste from the Environment Agency was correct in his definition of waste.
Okay.
But when you put rubbish in your bin and you put your bin out for collection, it becomes property of the local authority.
Ah, that's what I thought.
And if you take it out, you're stealing it. Now, this is a Scottish answer, so it may be different in England, but...
No, I don't think Scotland, it is. I don't think it is, because the otherwise you would have people going through bins a lot, I imagine. Or
that's correct, yes.
So when it's in... Because the bin is the property of the council, technically, is it, these days? Oh, it didn't used to be, though.
Mostly, yeah.
It didn't used to be. But anyway, your qualifications are...
44 years in waste management.
That's more than enough. Carry on. What a load of old rubbish. Thank you very much. Sean is in Stoke Pogis. Sean, question or answer?
Answer, please, James.
Do you know, you just reminded me that I've done two things I've forgotten to do, Sean. Do you know what they are?
What's that?
I think the person that won the Mystery Hour board game last week was called Sean, but it was a female Sean, so it definitely wasn't you, and I've forgotten to send it to her. And this week, I've completely forgotten to remind people that the Mystery Hour board game is available as a prize for everybody, for whoever I decide has made the best contribution to the programme, and to plug it for people who want to buy their own copy over at mysteryhour.co.uk. So I'm glad that you reminded me of that by accident, just with your name, Sean.
I'm happy to hear that.
And terms and conditions can be found at lbc.co.uk. What is your answer?
It's regarding the soft shell crab.
Yes.
And the answer is actually that these particular crabs actually shed their shell, and that's the point at which they're formed. And the reason for that, for the shedding, is that the particular kind of crab that we eat, actually the shell at the end, the exoskeleton, doesn't grow with the crab as it grows. So periodically it has to shed its skin, and that's when they're formed.
But you can have them wild.
You can have them wild, but they're selected by the sort of producers at the point that they've just sort of shed their skin. That's the only way you can really.
I was in Southampton once. This was the P&O anecdote that I threatened people with earlier, and I saw two ladies who I think were working at a local Chinese restaurant. They were taking crabs out of the water by the big dock in Southampton, and I mean hundreds of buckets of them. So how would you be able to know that the shell had... I mean, how would you... Surely by the time you've fried it, everything's soft.
It is, but for example, with prawns, there are certain ones that are farmed that are soft, but the wild ones are actually extra hard, so you can't... I think the point you're raising is valid, but in terms of as businesses, it would be a problem.
Okay. What are your qualifications?
25 years a chef, but actually I was in Colombo at a Ministry of Crab function about 20 years ago.
Ministry of Crab?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And this was discussed, and we saw it firsthand, the shedding, as and when it happens, which is about 6 months into their birth, the first time.
And how long in between shedding and regrowing? How long is that period?
Almost 2 weeks, I believe.
Hard to believe. It's just an incredible coincidence, then, that all the crabs that I've ever eaten just happen to have been in that two-week window.
No, but they're farmed. It's a big business, isn't it?
Is it even in this country? Well, of course it is. Where else are you going to buy them from? Yeah, all right. Sorry,
it's an island country.
Do you cook crab much? Ministry of Crab.
Quite a lot.
Do you? What's your recipe? How do you serve it?
Lots of chili.
Yeah, you need a lot of chili. It's delicious. And a bit of batter. Do you have tempura on it?
Garlic butter.
Garlic butter.
Yeah.
Where's your restaurant? Do you want to have a free advert?
No, that's very kind. We do event functions at a company called Satna.
Fantastic. Satna.
Thank you.
Thank you. Round of applause for Sean. I am actually quite tempted. I'm going out for dinner tonight, though. I can't have a big lunch. Anyway, Jamie's in Blandford. Jamie, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
It's for the whip.
Yes.
So with the whip, how it creates a sonic boom, it's the kinetic energy going from the large end where you input, it travels down the whip to the focusing point, and that's where the sonic boom is created.
Because it's tapered, so it gets faster and faster and faster.
The energy you put in as you whip it up and down, the loop, then as the energy you put in, it multiplies the energy on the way out.
It's actually magic, isn't it? Almost. It'd be so incredible. What are your qualifications? Yeah. How do you know this?
Oh, I watched it on the TV once, and, keen science nerd.
No, I like it. That'll do nicely. So, can we explain it even further? I mean, I understand why it's right, but for someone still struggling, you do the movement at the fat end. As it makes its way down towards the thin end, the movement gets bigger and bigger and bigger, so to speak, to the point where it breaks the sound barrier.
Yeah.
Round of applause for Jamie, I think. That's really nice. Keith knew that as well. It's only fair that I tell people that. He explained it to me in the break. Professor Hal is here. Why?
Well, good day, James.
Hello,
Yes, it's a Stewart's inquiry on your Stewart's inquiry, if I may.
On the bins.
Yes, as a wannabe polymath, I seldom get to give my law degree a fly. And
you've had several lives. You're like Doctor Who, because you were a copper for a while as well, weren't you?
I was. That was 30 years ago.
Law degree, police officer, professor of public understanding of science at the University of Brighton, television presenter, and now sort of barrack room lawyer.
But above all else, contributor to mystery.
Oh, well, that is absolutely the top of the tree. Go on, what's the case law? What's the precedent?
And it's Williams and Phillips, whereby two refuse workers were taking stuff out of bins and selling them.
Mm.
And they were prosecuted. And it was held by the divisional court that the refuse remained the property of the householder while it was in the bin, at which point it reverted to the property of the local authority when it was collected. But it never became ownerless. And one of the...
I think that's what he said, though.
Well, he said that as soon as it's put in the bin, it becomes the local authority, but it doesn't. And it's nothing to do with who owns the bin. It's there until it's collected. And one of the important parts of the theft. It has to be property belonging to another. It has to have an owner for it to be theft, and that's how they worked it out.
Round of applause. There you go. So when's the last time you put your law degree to good use?
I got off parking tickets. In fact, I run a little mini business getting my colleagues off parking tickets.
It's another career. This is incredible. You are like Doctor Who. Doctor Howe. Professor Howe. Professor Who. Thank you very much. And he presents Howe. It's just incredible. Or at least it's the professor in residence on television's Howe. Les is in Folkestone. Les, question or answer?
Hi, Les. Hi, James.
Hello,
it's
Les.
Answer.
Carry on.
Okay, you were close with the booby. The booby trap, and on long ocean voyages, they put a small wire loop on top of the deckhouse on the boat, and when a blue-footed booby would land on top of the deck, they'd pull the string tight and catch their supper.
So it was a particularly dozy bird, or at least a bird that hadn't really been predated much, probably, given that...
Yeah, with bright blue feet, yeah.
And with big, bright blue feet. Good grief. Good work. Qualifications?
Got a complete nerd. I read it somewhere in a book a long time ago.
That's not nerdy at all. Round of applause for Les. I like that. You live and learn.
Great, my first one. Thank you very much, James.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give the Mystery Hour board game this week, and everyone unlucky enough not to win one can, of course, buy their own at mysteryhour.co.uk, to Liz, I think, in Billingham, who's just had the dental work done, because it was a particularly funny Mystery Hour this week, and I can only work with the material you give me. And Liz, I think, gave me... Or Jack... Oh, which one is it going to be? Keith, you choose. Liz or Jack?
Liz,
thank you. And look at that, we're coming bang on time. And it is now time for Tom Swarbrick.